This is a continuation of what we started earlier this day during our annual retreat. And is anchored in the story of Tobit, Tobias, Tobit, and the Archangel Raphael. It has been known that if we know how much God loves us, we will die giddy of happiness. In our own life, there's nothing left to chances. Everything that happens to us is known in the divine nature of God. Even things that we do not like is part of our own empowerment, awakening, and illumination of our mind so that we know how much we are one with God. And stories abound, stories of Job, stories of Tobit, and others, whom the human eyes can only see up to a point, but the spiritual eye sees way beyond what we can comprehend. Even when God puts us on a trial, like Archangel Raphael says, or said, God tries those who love him. What a statement. See, this is God's way of enabling us to grow in our love for him. And it is said, love is in the will. What does that mean? Love is in the will. The main reason we have a free will is to love God. But how this needs to be understood, the more demanding, the more difficult the challenges, the more reluctant we are to do something. And yet we do it anyway. The more our will is used to do what our conscience tells us is the will of God. The example will be, it may be somebody you know, it may actually be somebody you do not know, who may need a kidney or half a sliver of your liver. There's a story, I think it was in Georgia, two co-workers. I think one the husband, the other is the wife, who needed a transplant. The wife of both, or the wife and husband of the two couples, they couldn't do it because it doesn't match. But those two workers, somehow they are talking. And one is feeling bad like this. And the other woman said, oh, I'll do it. It's like, what do you mean you do it? It's not like they are BFF, you know. And then they find out it matches. And then the other couple, one of the other couple also gave to the other couple. So a woman giving the liver to the husband, and the husband was the one giving, you know. Nobody can plan that. Not even the AI can put that together. And guess what? It worked miraculously. They could not believe it. And because of that, that whole family became BFF. At the time one was employed, they didn't know that was going to take place. And guess what? Since we are so caught up in the race structure in this country, one couple was African American, the other couple is Caucasian. Go figure. So the Caucasian doesn't match. African doesn't match. So look at how cross ventilation happened. Can you imagine the love that it took for that to take place? And that love is God. So let us repeat that. Love is in the will. The main reason we have a free will is to love God. God is love. But did we ever even think, why would God give us free will? Well, then it would make sense. I give you free will, you can make the choice either to love me or to discard me of. So it's for us to use our will to love God. And he said, but how this needs to be understood, the more demanding, the more difficult, the more reluctant we are to do something. Imagine those couples. I don't think they woke up after having some waffles and think, oh, I'm going to donate this because it's easy to take part of your body to give to some. Do you know how much thought would have gone into that? Maybe I'm sure families and friends, well, if you do that, it's not even families. You give that, supposing the other kidney fails, what's going to happen? They have to think about all the scenarios. Yeah, it's difficult, it's demanding. Maybe there's some reluctance to it. But yeah, they did it anyway. The more our will is used to do what our conscience tells us is the will of God. Because what is conscience anyway? Why do we even have conscience? We've heard people use, oh, this one has no conscience. He will sell his mama for money. he would betray the whole tribe just for power. Didn't they say a guilt-free conscience has nothing to fear? Conscience. That's that spirit of God in us, telling us to do the right thing. And we're not talking about Spike Lee saying, do the right thing. Remember the movies in the 90s? The Gen Z probably can't relate to that. Like, what was that all about? Conscience will never let us walk away from a difficult situation when we know we can do something about it. That's why you have people stand up to tyrants in different places, even though they might kill them. Their conscience will not let them walk away. That spirit of God to say, well, it's not happening to me. Then why do I have to put myself in danger? Isn't there a story? They came around, they got the mechanic. You did nothing. You didn't say anything. He came around and got the plumber. You didn't say anything. He came around and got the lady who cleans, the maid. You didn't do anything because you're a handyman. Finally, they came around for you, and then nobody's going to raise an eyebrow for you because they are all gone. Conscience is what makes us to stand up to tyranny. And it's that conscience that tells us We are more powerful than the difficulties that shows up in our life. I'm not giving up. You can beat me to dust. I'm still going to get up. Even when we are crying that I can't take this anymore. This is too much. God, get me out of this. And you know, nothing is happening. And that conscience says, just hang in there. Well, I've been hanging for 22 years. Just hang in there 1 minute more. Everything will be fine. And voila, 1 minute more, everything is fine. After 22 years of suffering, that conscience, which is God, will never let you. Make sure that your will I don't think, well, maybe some people will. If you see a little child, a toddler, running across the street and you see a vehicle that might kill that toddler, are you going to say, oh, that's not my child? Even though you might get hit by, but your conscience will not let you let that toddler get bruised or killed. You will dive in, push the toddler, even though the car might hit you somewhere. So you do it. That is the Spirit of God. Because we all breathe the same air. We all come from the same consciousness. One consciousness is not better than the other. We all come from it. It's just that we don't develop our consciousness. That's the only thing that separates us. Raphael says, thank God for the trials in your lives. Seriously? Who want trials? We just want life to be good, hunky-dory. But the trials makes us stronger. We get an insight into who we are. We get an insight into what terrifies us. This is just a made-up story that I'm about to tell. And it's not serious, but it's just a plain old story. You can imagine, well, probably most of us are afraid of snakes. Except those who live in the Everglades and they wrestle all the other year. So you can imagine, maybe you're taking a walk. It's just the trail. You did not know that the snakes have made some that part of the trail a habitat. All of a sudden, as you go there, you see the first year a snake. Oh my God. Another snake. Oh. Now your trial has just begun. You want to run back, you can, because there's another snake showing up. You can't go to the right, there's another snake. You to the left, and you can't go forward because you have to climb over a snake. Just imagine that for a minute. It can be terrifying. Probably pee in your drawers and start shaking. And if you are a Christian, you're calling on God and asking the market to bring the sword and do something. And it doesn't matter what you practice. You want somebody to get you out of that mess. And nothing is happening. And maybe your conscience spoke to you and said, don't be afraid. Go on. These are guiding snakes. They don't kill. They can't bite you. You know, when we're afraid of snakes, we don't know the difference. I knew a friend of mine, and I learned it from him. He was furious that, said, why did they kill that snake? He's a guiding snake. He's even more afraid of you. He won't kill. He can't do that. Because he grew up on the farm. That's how he knew that. If you grew up in the city, how many times do you see a snake? I say, hello, snake. How are you doing today? So imagine that conscience, which is the Spirit of God, gives you that will. Say, it's the guiding snake, and you followed. And then you move forward, and that guiding snake runs away. Even if there are other snakes around, you keep going, and they all keep running. You might even pick a baby snake. And the thing looks at you like, Oh, please don't kill me. So I'm not here to kill you. I can't believe I'm holding a snake. So if that happened, won't you be saying, thank God, now you've discovered something in the midst of your trial, that all snakes are not equal. That the garden snake, actually, you can have it as a pet and you don't have to worry about it. And probably the garden snake doesn't want you to have her as a pet. She wants her freedom too. I mean, you have free will to pick, but say, I want my free will too. Thank God for the trials in our lives. We should express our gratitude for the hardships and trials He gives us. Really? But there's something that comes out of that. God sometimes enables us who love Him to love Him more through trials. Now, let's still use the analogy of that snake. Once you've learned the truth now, I'm sure you'll be thanking God. You even, the way you walk will be different because now you have knowledge. You might even say, oh, it's because I read Psalm 91. I've been reading it. That's why those snakes couldn't bite me. And then you find out, you don't even need to read Psalm 91 for the snakes. They just don't bite. Now that you know the truth, your love for the one that supported you, God, is even more. Like, all my younger years up to this adulthood, I was afraid of nothing that doesn't need to be afraid of. Can you imagine the freedom from that? Do you know how many aches and pains we put ourselves through because we are carrying errors of thought? The ignorance. Sometimes we don't blame ourselves. Our parents passed it on to us. Their parents gave it to them. Where did it start? And maybe great-great-grandparent. And it turns out you, who are now the young, is the great-great-grandparent that started the falsehood in the first place. But can you imagine the relief? And how grateful we will be. So that trial makes us to love God. Another trial comes. You may not see it, and when it shows up, then your thoughts go back to the trial of the snakes. We might think this is funny, but it can be terrifying when you are afraid of something and they all show up. You can't go back. There's a snake there. You can't go to the left, right, and all of that. And then the thought will come. If God saved you from that ignorance that was beating us and killing us, because we can die out of fear. Now, you know, even if they say, oh, that's a colony of snake, and it's garden snakes, they are, don't worry about it. They are just minding their own business. Until they crawl into your plate of food and try to eat some of your food, then you may push them aside. So when other trials shows up, because you have a reference point. That's why you cannot use white chalk on a whiteboard. It's not going to show up. If you don't have a reference point, how are you going to compare? So if God just let us have hunky-dory life, you know, then you don't know what it's like to struggle. You don't know what it's like to stand your ground. Like that snake, like, well, I'm not going to give in to my fear. And then you find out your fear has no basis. Yeah, trial is good. But none of us will wish for it. I think the ultimate fear for humans are death and being disabled. Imagine somebody in their prime, even if they're not in their prime, but they're able to do things for themselves. Now they have to rely on someone, like Tobias did. Well, he had his sight before until the bird defecated on him, poop on his face, and he got blinded. Now he had to rely on his wife Anna. At a point, what happened? He didn't feel pity for himself because he loves God. He felt he's becoming a burden to Anna, the wife. And he asked God, take my life. Take my life and let it be. That way I can free my, you know. And that's what we should be. In spite of that, he stayed true. It wasn't transactional, his love for God. He had a free will. And that will is to love God, and he did it. And we always love people who overcome, don't we? We cherish that because it reminds us what is the possibilities for us, what is possible. Until God sent Archangel Raphael to heal him. That, no, you ask for death, I'm going to give you life. A life more abundantly. You think he was grateful all that time, even when he was blind? Now he's even more grateful now that his eyesight has been restored. Express your gratitude for the hardship and trial he gives us. God sometimes enables us who love him to love him more through trials. How we need to hear this. Because we always think, if he's God, everything is pleasant. The same mistakes we make with the angels. Oh, the angels of God, they are always, oh, nice. Well, angel of death, you think it doesn't belong to God? How many of us wants to die now? If death shows us, oh, I don't want to go. We don't want to go. Why? That's my question. I've never known of anyone who went to the grocery store and said they want to stay in the grocery store. They said, go, no, I'm not going. This is my home. Because that's the way we're acting. You come to the grocery store to shop, you know, do the, and then they say, okay, time to go home. No, they said, we're closing. You can lock me up here. I'm not going. They call the sheriff. The sheriff say, I'm not going. They have to call the SWAT team. You say, no, you are not going. Now they bring the soldiers. You say, well, you have to drop the bomb. I'm not going. That must be a very foolish person, isn't it? And that's the way we act. Exactly the way we act. Death shows us, say, I'm your best friend. No, you are not my best friend. We're going to even read Death Derive Act. We will even bring the Bible and quote the scriptures. And then we start disturbing Archangel Michael and others. Protect me from that debt. Say, no, it's for your God. No, it's not my time. Gabriel said, no. Gabriel got it wrong. He didn't read the fine writing. I'm not going home. This is my home. Well, die in the grocery store if you want. Because that's our attitude. God graces can be pleasant and enjoyable. But the graces can also be difficult and painful. And we should realize that. It's the balancing. It's the two sides of the same coin. We should never deceive ourselves that what is pleasing to us is displeasing to God. We need to get that right too in our head, because the society has drummed that into our head. What is pleasing to us is displeasing to God. Think that for a minute. How can showing kindness to another soul be displeasing to God? Some of us, we can't help it. Even if it will cost us an arm. We are just generous and kind. That is just our nature. And then people laugh at you. Oh, you are a pushover. You just, why is it that you're always nice to people? They don't need to be. People don't like nicest things. But it's your nature. How are you going to go against your nature? Being nice and generous, would that be displeasing to God? If he pleases you, do it. Be kind, be generous. Talk less, listen more if that's your nature. Even if you're a talkative, maybe in the process of talking so much, you will talk something good. Water finds its own level. You must find what is pleasant and joyful in you. Nobody can give that to you. You will know it. And don't let anybody rain on your parade. So the pastor comes. You have to give your tithing. Otherwise, you're going to be going to hell. And you've decided, no, you will give some donation to church, but you're not giving them any tithing. That money, you've earmarked it to give it to a non-profit shelter. Because it's your nature to lift people up. You see them, you see the result of your money. Instead of giving it to Red Cross, where they use most of it for the administration, no, you give it to your neighborhood Girl Scout because they can help. And then they read you the scriptures. You don't tithe, you're going to hell. That's human nature. But God sees that the same tithing, you donating it, and you are seeing the results. Because it makes you happy. So how is it that something that makes you happy, pleasurable to you, how is it unpleasant to God? Do we get this? And humans, we've created all kinds of things and rules and regulations that has nothing to do with God. And the way they make us do it, because they anchor it to fear. Fear rules. And we know how, when we are fearful, just like the snake, only to find out we don't need to be afraid of it. You don't pay your taxes, Uncle Sam, IRS will show up. You and your daughter and your children and your third generation of your family, you are going to prison. The law of the United States didn't say that. Maybe actually you don't need to pay the taxes because your deductions are more, right? You give him more, so if you don't even, they just say, oh, you don't need to pay taxes. Maybe the accountant wants to make more money off you and told you if you don't do this, and even it may not be the accountant, it may be your sibling that doesn't know squat. But because somebody has said, oh, you do this, the IRS will do that. If you don't break the law, why will you be afraid? There are rules and rules and rules. Isn't that why they told us to get second opinion for medical diagnosis and all of that? But some of us believe you don't say no to your doctor, that they are all knowing, and they are not. And God bless the doctors because they are doing great jobs. They are learning just like you. But people project that. You can't say no to your lawyer because the lawyer is supposed to know the legal terms of better than you. But your conscience, your intuition is telling you, tell your lawyer, tell your doctor to look at this. But because we have been molded in that way, you shut up. You don't want to offend them. Only to turn out what your conscience is telling you is exactly the right diagnosis. But the fear of going against authority, we hold it. And that might cause us something that is not supposed to. So how is that going to be displeasing to God? When it is the Spirit of God telling you, this is what is going on, so you need to embrace this. But if I tell my doctor, the doctor might say, did you go to medical school? Which one went to medical school? But then you are brave enough to overcome your fear and you say, and the doctor say, I would never have thought of that. Spirit of God in my even say, okay, oh, Well, let's check this out. And the doctor is happy, like, I'm glad you brought this because that's exactly what is happening. So whenever somebody wants you to be afraid and they use God as the instrument, just walk away. You don't need to argue with them. Because those of us on the spiritual path, we know what goes on in religions. Isn't the Catholic still wrestling with, you know, the woman cannot be a pope? What God told them that? Oh, if you are LGBT, you are going to hell. Did God come down and tell you that? Where did you hear God discriminating against God's children? It's never happened. But somehow we come into this morality, and because the way we've been raised, it has to be heterosexual, otherwise, no. And in some very wise society, culture, tribe, everyone is equal. Do whatever you please. It's not displeasing to God. Raphael finally told father and son to be at peace. Indians love to say that. Peace be unto you. Because they don't want you to be shaking in your boots when you feel their energy. And as we have seen on Christmas morning, it wasn't just one angel that came, but the host of angels tells us, peace on earth to men and women of goodwill. I've always wondered who started it that started using just men, as if the men will exist without the women. You see how we do things? And that begins the whole shenanigan of what is still troubling us today. The woman, they don't think they are smart as the men. Well, what was that movie where the three women, Native and African-American women, with the space thing, with NASA? Imagine that, smart women with mathematics and all of that, and they acknowledge that without them, this thing won't happen. But in those days, the people looked down on them. It's not just the color, the fact that the gender. The person that helped speed up the COVID vaccine, it was a woman. Even some of the colleagues, they laughed at her because she started this thing in the 80s. The conscience telling her, do this, and stayed with it. And she wasn't even born here. She came here. Even at the point her university withdrew the sponsorship, but she kept going anyway. And then when it happened, most of us probably will still be dead by now. All because somehow, some way, human mind misinterprets something somewhere to think the female gender is inferior. That is not my discovery. When a female saint shows up, you will know she's a saint. Not because of her gender, you will know. If you are loving, you are loving. Love has nothing to do with gender or class or race. peace on earth to men of goodwill and women of goodwill. Whatever else we should learn, but from not only Raphael, but from God speaking through his angels, is that we should not just be at peace, but cultivate peace in our minds, in our hearts, because that's what God is. What is peace of mind anyway? I'm sure most of us want peace of mind. It says peace of mind is the experience of knowing the truth. The truth shall set you free. The story I made up. Didn't that individual now have peace of mind knowing that the snake can bite, you know? But before that, always afraid. Now is a different scenario. Probably because of that, now the individual learns more about snakes. He knows the one that will bite, the one you need to keep away from, and he knows the one that you can be friends with. And he knows the one that won't bite but can wrap themselves around you and break the thing. Peace of mind is the experience of knowing the truth. Behind that statement stands years of experience. People tend to equate peace of mind with wealth or power, and is an illusion. We've heard of the church rat, right? Mm-hmm. Why is the church rat so poor? Because nobody is taking ice cream, biscuits to the church. So they have to go to where, you know. You can be as poor as the church rat, yet you are content and you have peace. And you can have all the money and influences, but you are worried of losing them. So the truth is, that's what it is. But when you know the truth that money, your contact, your influence, your race cannot buy you peace. Peace is not something outside of you. It's something within. And you have to cultivate it, trials or no trials. Because Tobias did that in spite of being blind. He was at peace with himself. He still praised God, still thank God. Because we're only as much at peace in our minds as our minds possesses the truth. When your mind knows the truth, then you have nothing to fear. Even the trials, you let it come. And then you start a course of action. Okay, so this is the hand I'm being dealt with now. Okay, so what can I do about it? And then you go about it. Instead of passing out before you know the truth. So let your mind possess the truth that God loves you as much as God loves any of God's children. As much as God loves Jesus, or Buddha, or Krishna, or Muhammad, or Mother Mary, or Rabbi of Bastra, you name it. If somebody said you are inferior, you don't need to argue with them. All matters is you know you are not inferior. You are God's child. And that's why, to use the Christian term, when God became man, and we know what they say about that, he identified himself as, I am the truth. Because that's what Jesus said. Didn't they kill him because of that? You are equating yourself to God. He said, I am the truth. You don't need to go to the mountain to find God. You don't need to go to the synagogue in Jerusalem to find God. Because God is right inside of you. So why are you paying the donkey to take you there? Because the donkey is the Uber of that time. And it's also their limousine. I am the truth. So what is the truth? Truth is our minds corresponding with reality. Yeah, because we all create our own reality, you know. We can create the reality that we can fly. Just because you think that's your reality. The truth, when it stares you in the face, you find that you cannot fly. Unless you get on an airplane. Truth is our minds corresponding with reality. Yet, millions are living in a dream world of unreality. They do not possess the truth, and the truth, I repeat, is the agreement of the mind with reality. And people don't believe this. But the statistic shows 90% of Americans who read, they read fiction. And what does that tell you? We need to guard our minds from reading bewitched by the untruth. Because fiction is what it is. It is fiction. It's fabulous fable, you know. Isn't that what they call fake news now? And what's the other word they use for it? There's another word. Since it's political time now, they, you know, in social media, they come up with all kinds, you know. And then people believe it. And I'm sure, well, I cannot be 100% sure, because that would be fabulous fable. It is possible, that's the right word to use, that somebody just sat in their own room, not even their living room, and just made up a story. And they tell a friend, tells a friend, and before you know it, people accept it as the truth. And that has been plaguing humanity from the foundation of humanity. The day I heard the story of the turkey and the Thanksgiving, I scratched my head. I couldn't laugh enough. That the reason people stuff the turkey is because this lady was preparing food for the family for Thanksgiving. And the oven she had is not big enough. Talking about creativity. And it came to her. Well, I still need to cook this. Well, the turkey inside is empty. If I stuff all this in there, then it will be fine. And then it went viral. I mean, in those days, they didn't know anything. But it went viral. Household after household, they keep stuff. But with the larger ovens we have, you don't need to stuff the turkey. You can cook it separately. But they believe is the eternal truth of cooking turkey for Thanksgiving. What a fiction, huh? And we take it as the truth. So we need to guard our minds from being bewitched by the untruth. Harry Potter and all of that. Great story. And God bless her. God turned her life around. From being poor, she can't even, you know. And imagine how many times people turned her down. And now, she will never be poor again. Well, may God make it so that she will never be poor again. But at that time, somebody had told her, oh, life is going to change for you. She probably won't believe it. Maybe even her conscience, the intuition said, don't worry, your trial is about to come to an end. Well, tell the person when you cannot get a nice meal, telling them the trials. No, they are facing the reality of their. But then it did come and happen. How do we acquire the truth? The truth can only be acquired through God's revelation. Period. That is it. No conversation, no social media about it. If we want to know that, look at the inventions that happened. Don't people say they just get this buzz, some an idea come. They don't know whether it's going to work or not. And they started it. Otherwise, none of us would be flying on the airplanes. The Wright brothers, right? Something came to them. The light bulbs, the telephone. I'm sure now all of us have smartphones, isn't it? I'm sure when somebody inspired that, oh, they can do this, nobody believe. What do you mean? You have a clock in a telephone. You even have a dictionary. And all the things we now take for granted. Because I remember in those days, people used to buy a wristwatch that has different time zones. Even you go to the bank lobbies where they do international, you see Tokyo time, this time. Now it's all in our smartphone. We don't have to worry about it. Yeah, that revelation came from that person's intuition. Even if we don't want to use the word God. Haven't some of us said it? Because I remember in my earlier years, I thought of this, but how come I didn't do it? Or how come I didn't think of this? Somebody thought of something. And then like, oh, how come I never thought of it? Remember the instant pot? Reinvented it against, you know, the, well, what do they call the other slow pot that they used to cook? You know, crock pot, yeah. So how do we acquire truth? We acquire it, of course, from God's revelation. But it is one thing to say, possess the truth, such as there are three persons in one God. Or know that God became man in the person of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, the living God-man, is present here on earth. Sometimes I still scratch my head, though. The Trinity in one can be puzzling. Because in some denominations, there is no mother God. But doesn't our reality, this world tells us, there'll be no father if the mother didn't give birth to that child that became. So how does that make sense? Please enlighten me. I still don't get it. So if there's a father God, there has to be a mother God. And then in the process, the child, the Christ will come. But you want to ignore what is real to the unreal. And we wonder why we are deceiving ourselves. But it still scratches my head. How does God become human? I can think of God and the Holy Spirit, or what Christians call Holy Ghost. Now that I know better, I wonder why they call Spirit of God Ghost. Maybe the Gen Z knows better, because, oh, he ghosted me. Because Halloween is, a ghost means something you cannot see, or maybe. Unless if it's Casper, the good ghost, right? If it's the one that will threaten you, I don't think you want to befriend that. The Trinity. How does, if you are the supreme thing, why would you lower yourself? Because I know humans won't do it. If you become the king or the queen, you think the queen wants to be a pauper? Because that's what it is. If God became Christ, and Christ came here, and we saw the abuse here, humans won't do that. Only God can. So the Trinity, to me, has to involve the Mother. That's it. Then I'm okay with it. God the Father, I get. God the Mother, I get. And then God the Son. Now, if the Son wants to be a ghost and ghost people, that's fine. And they turned Jesus into a ghost because they killed him for telling the truth. Don't make up stories, he says to people. God can be found in your heart. You don't need a priest. And they said, you are equating yourself to God. You got to go. And in order to get God, we have to have that understanding of the truth. And only God can reveal that truth. And that is the main purpose of meditation. Because if you don't know the truth about God, how can you know the truth about yourself? Through prayer and reflection on God's revealed truth, we grow in our understanding of what God has revealed. So, what is the title of our conversation tonight? God's charity. And the greatest charity is the revelation of knowing who you are. Don't let anybody eat your cream without paying for it. You are God's child. No amount of trial, no amount of hearsay or made-up story is going to change that. That is just it. And that's the greatest God can do. That's why God gave us life and gave us free will. And we better enjoy it. We better rock it like the Casper. May the truth always set us free. Amen.
Amen. Amen.